You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
Los Angeles, California, and Maria Menounos, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. Spotlight On is a long-form interview series featuring actors and TV personalities. And now, from the world's number one TV after-show platform, this is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On.
Hi, everyone. We are here for a Spotlight On with an incredibly awesome guest today, none other than Heather Thompson of The Real Housewives of New York. Thank you so much for coming today.
I'm so happy to be here.
You flew all the way here just for us?
Just for you?
I mean, that was just so sweet.
I felt like the chair needed my ass in it.
I can't thank you enough for that, honestly. You are so cool. You're just as cool as I thought you'd be. Like, you're actually way cooler, but you're really, really cool.
Well, I love AfterBuzz. I feel like I've been with you guys from the beginning.
I know. Yeah, we love
that.
We love that. And I'm here with our other Real Housewives of New York hosts that we always recap with, minus Lindsay, who couldn't be here, but we miss her. Who am I with tonight?
Exactly. Thanks, Ash. Stephanie McGraw, guys.
And Courtney Henderson.
So we're definitely excited. This is going to be a fun little chat. It's like a girl talk. It's all of us hanging out.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we definitely want at some point for you and Carol to come in. We had, like, I was hoping at some point we'll do that.
That's
She's so
easy.
Cool.
Yeah.
You two are
all together a lot, so yes. You can find us together.
Well, we saw a glimpse of her house in Beverly Hills, so
yeah,
she's...
It's great.
It's really pretty.
She's actually stuck in traffic, well, because we are in L.A. after all.
Yeah.
She's stuck in traffic right now.
Oh, she is. Yeah. Oh, that is so surprising.
Did he leave yet? I thought he left.
I think he left yesterday.
Who? I'm staying at the Chateau Marmont, and she's on the way there, but we're really, really not meeting till 8, but she thinks we're meeting at 6.
Right.
I already called the front desk to get her a key.
That's fabulous. That's so smart.
She'll be in the bungalow waiting.
Yeah, raiding the mini bar.
And we love the fact that you're actually genuinely friends with Carol off screen.
Yeah.
It's not all this whole everything's done
for sure.
The camera.
And, you know, I have to admit, it's not only Carol, it's Luann. Luann and I definitely hang, you know, together off screen. She's one of my dear girlfriends. Wow. And so is Kristen, our newest housewife.
Yes. You know, we spoke to her a few weeks ago, and I knew the second we spoke to her. First of all, she is so cute. She literally was just like, if she was in person, she would have had the mic, and she would have been like, okay, so let's answer the question. She was like you.
Fire.
She is.
She's
but
awesome.
She was very real, and we sensed that immediately with her. And it really is cool to, there's so many people you meet when you move to L.A. or you live in L.A. that you expect to be a certain way because you've seen them on TV, and they're just, you're excited because you look up to them, and then they disappoint you, and you're like, damn, I thought they'd
more
be really
times
cool.
than not, I feel like they disappoint, and so it's so refreshing when somebody doesn't.
Well, let's see, Luann and Carol, Luann and Kristen are both from Connecticut, and Carol and I are both from upstate New York, so it must be kind of the New England thing going on.
Love it. Boston,
keeping
honey.
It real.
Oh, yeah, keeping it real, keeping it real. I love it. So, okay, so you knew Carol before Real Housewives began, correct?
No, really, Razzie and I met on the show. So we had mutual friends in common, namely our girlfriend Duff, who was, you know, a friend of ours and really one of Carol's best friends. And so Duff and I became friends, and she was like, you girls, like, need to know each other. And she was like, oh my God, you're both being, you know, you're both up for Housewives.
Right. Yeah.
So she was like, you have to meet. So we met quickly before the show, and it was kind of like meeting you guys.
Right.
I was like, oh,
right, you know,
I'm in a vibe
with
this girl. Now I get it. And then filming started, and funny enough, last season, maybe because production thought that we would, you know, gel.
Yes.
That we didn't shoot together.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Really until St. Bart's is when you saw the real relationship that was actually kind of happening really come to the forefront. And, you know, literally she's like a sister to me.
Right.
I mean, I talk to her almost every day and, you know, she's my girl.
So like maybe 3 years probably all together.
Yes, exactly. And it was, you know, when you meet somebody and it's nice in life when we're both, you know, over a certain age. And, you know, it's nice when you meet a real girlfriend when you're like in your 40s, you know, and Carol's 50, so it's good.
Right, and Ella really likes her, too. Like,
Ella,
we saw a little glimpse of that. She gave her the balloon. That was so cute.
They have a true bond.
They do.
Mean, Jax, too. I mean, she's, you know, she's around, so they know who she is, and they miss her when she's not around, and they're happy to see her when she is, and it's real.
That's so sweet.
Heather, I know in one particular article that, or one interview that you did when before you started, and they asked you the questions based, did you have any hesitation about joining the Housewives? I mean, we've seen the franchise. You've seen by that stage all the way up their past seasons and what goes on. Is there any, was there any more hesitation? Because I know there was a big delay. We were all waiting for the new season to start. And especially now your kids are older and in particular things that are going with Jax.
Yeah, it was, there was definitely another hesitation. It's a lot of work, the show. I mean, it's not a joke. I mean, we filmed for 5 months straight. Ugh. We, you know, shoot sometimes three scenes a day. It's a lot of work. And I run a business. I have my own company and I do, I'm a mommy and I have two kids. And oh, that's right. I'm, I have a husband. He does like to get laid every now and then.
I love it.
You know, and, you know, so it was like, is it, you know, is it really worth it, you know, was the question. And Carol and I had some long, hard hearts about it. And we decided after all that, you know, that it was. And clearly we signed up to do it again. We felt that if we didn't do it the second season, the first season would have been for nothing. Right. So all that we sacrificed and all that we went through for season one, you know, would have been for nothing. And I've never quit anything in my life. And I felt like if I owed it to the cast, I owed it to the fans, I owed it to the, you know, the network to stick in and give it one more shot. And so I'm glad that we did. I really am.
Well, you know, and I'm glad that you did too, because I feel like there, you have kind of led this new tribe of housewives where, you know, taking it the Amanda Sanders way or the Faye Resnick way and kind of just throwing people under the bus to stay relevant. It's kind of long gone. It seems like you, Kristen, and Carol are starting this new trend almost of being real and cool and showing that that's still very entertaining.
Showing the real New Yorker women.
Right.
Though I think that's added to it.
Right, you can do it all.
Business women. Right. I mean, yourself, I think you even mentioned that you've quoted saying, I haven't, you know, I started working when I was 13 and I've never stopped since.
That's true.
Right. And your entire, which we'll go on to, your business. I mean, to do all that and then film the whole production, how has that, though, changed in terms of business? I'm curious about that.
Well,
has it been a positive move?
Most certainly. It's been good for my business because I'm building a brand, you know. The Yummy Tummy Tank, the original three-panel tank that I'm always fighting for, my intellectual property.
Everything's cool now, right?
It's, no, it's always, it's a good, I think, I don't honestly think it will ever be cool. Right. I think, you know, they say, Carol said it best, you know, imitation, they say, is the highest form of flattery. Yes. No, it isn't. Flattery is the highest form of flattery.
No one talking about money.
Well, right. Well, so you know you're doing something right when people are copying you.
It's true. You and, you know, patents are very, very particular, you know, things. They're, it's an intellectual property. You know, the U.S. government gives inventors a patent, and then you wind up having to enforce and, you know, and stick up for your intellectual property all the time. So, you know, that's difficult, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you have a good idea and you have an idea that sticks, everybody wants a piece of it, and that's just the way it goes. So I, you know, I do my, I call it my backpack. You know, I put it on when I have to put it on, and it's not so hot. The Prada doesn't make it. You know, it's ugly. It's heavy. But I take it off and I put it back in the corner and I continue with my life. And it's just part of my business since I launched it. And it's a distraction, but it's a necessary distraction. I have to stand up for what I believe in.
Right. Well, there are so many people that are trying to, I mean, we see Dr. Ray doing it. Even Jill Zarin was doing it.
Yeah, and, well, it was in 2011 she launched it.
Right. But, I mean, really, it, your original, that's, that tank started because you're an actual, you really did it for you at
the
beginning.
I really did. It was a selfish initiative.
Yeah. So you did this for yourself. Explain though, because you were already obviously doing style and designing and you were working in this field. So you were already a pro at it. So for you, did you really ever think it would get to this level of success, or did you feel like this was just for me? So I feel hot and sexy in my date night and.
Well, it's a good question because it wasn't strategized. It really was a selfish initiative, and I did what any good designer would do. When I couldn't find something in the market that I wanted, I created for myself. And I was working for Beyonce and Tina Knowles, and I have, you know, only love for them. I love them both so much, and you know. It was an idea that I had, and everybody wanted it. And my husband was like, you know, you always say you want to make women feel their best. And I worked for Jennifer Lopez, and I worked for Beyonce. And I know how good curvy girls felt, you know, back in the day. And there was no role models for them. And, you know, we had our Kate Mosses, and you know what I mean? Everybody was like skinny, mini. And, like, everything is in today. And I love that, you know, because that's what America's built on. You know, that's what it's all a melting pot of all different cultures. And, you know, and I really believe in that. You know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and everybody is beautiful. And so when I could create a brand or a product that was going to encourage women, my husband was like, well, you better get out there and share it. You know, you little secret keeper, you.
Yes, so, right, yeah, exactly.
So I did it, but I did it in hindsight. You know, I did it as like, oh, maybe it'll pay for, you know, a college education or two, yeah. You know. But I was tried and true stuck, you know, with Beyonce and Tina. And it was bittersweet because when I put it into a trade show, it really took off. And I had to then focus on my own brand. So I was sad to leave them, but it was exciting. And they were really very happy and encouraging. Yeah, they're
That's
great.
Incredible.
So I've had some great mentors in my life, and I've had some great support systems in my life. And I've been designing clothes for over 25 years.
But you're a girl's girl, though.
That's amazing.
You're a girl's girl. I mean, that's incredible.
I feel like I'm 23.
But it's quite interesting how you then move from, and we've all heard you talk about so highly of Sean P. Diddy.
Yes.
And your work with him. And I mean, you won all the nominations and everything for it in the franchise. His clothing line. But then to move from male into something so... specifically women orientated. Was that always, though, I'm assuming, it was always within Nathie?
You know, I was never an exclusive designer. I was always an inclusive designer. You know, I embrace all of fashion, be it accessories, you know, shoes, handbags, you know, fur. Sorry, I embrace it. You know, I mean, I really own it, you know, and, and I, you know, I did, I looked at every opportunity of jewelry. You know, and I would get into beauty. I love beauty. I love nutrition. I like things that are, you know, feel good, that are good for you, that make you look good, that make you feel good. You know, those are the things I like. So every opportunity that came my way, and Puff afforded me a lot of opportunities, you know, design kids' clothes. You know, I designed kids' clothes for Puffy. I designed
That's
kids'
so cool.
clothes for Jennifer. So it gave me these opportunities, you know, in fashion, working for someone with a big name like that was licensing a lot of, you know, their name for different, you know, classifications. And I oversaw it all. So it gave me an unbelievable look into fashion that wasn't inclusive. I wasn't just a denim designer, which I love denim. It's a specific cloth and you can master it. And I was able to master that. And then I was also able to work in shoes and understand lasts and work in jewelry and understand molds. So I had this really, you know, rounded experience in my career working with Puff, working with Jennifer Lopez, working with Beyonce.
Well, speaking of that, you do have, and now you're launching the ready-to-wear, correct?
Well,
and gym wear?
Well, athletic wear.
Athletic wear.
So,
okay.
So
what can we expect?
Well, Yummy is really a lifestyle brand, and I find that people overuse that term often, and we really are living it. So what that means is that for a woman in all walks of life, Yummy's there with her. You know what I mean? And I say through thick and thin. So shapewear is at our core, and that was what launched the brand, and it will forever be at our core. But that's merely the foundation of dressing. So it's like the canvas is the beginning of my brand was like the canvas. And now what the brand is about is it's really my vision is about essentials, the essentials that women need. Mm-hmm. So jeans is an essential in a wardrobe.
Yeah.
Leggings, essential in a wardrobe. A slip, a bra. Panties.
A little black dress.
Which
seems like you could already almost wear your stuff like as a, I mean, you so, really, well, you could throw like a jacket over it. You could just put a jacket over it though. Oh my God, forget it.
You know, but the fact that you're now doing with activewear. Exactly, because it's not just formal occasions or, you know, the night that you want to wear it. I mean, all of your, in particular, I know your panty lines that I've noticed and I love and, you know, especially now with all the thongs and everything, you want to wear them more than just the one night. There's other times that you do.
Exactly, and it's for every day. So everything's for every day, and so the active appareling. I'm an athlete. You know, I've been since I was a kid. I was a 4-letter varsity winner in high school, and I was a ski instructor. And you know, I grew up in the Berkshires, as you see.
And you took out that cameraman.
We saw that. We kept our cameraman
in. Supposed to be pointing.
We kept him in there tonight, so he's safe. Steven's safe.
So you know, I was and you know, working out is a part of you know my life. And I believe in it, not only for, you know, a great ass, but I believe in it for, you know, your brain. And it's important to just do that for your overall health. And so activewear, what happens is we need versatility as women today. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not schlepping a damn gym bag around wherever I go.
No, if
I know I'm working out that day, I'll wear my leggings to work with a heel. And you know what I mean? I'll throw a sneaker, a really lightweight, like New Balance cross trainer. Really, it's not like a big, heavy shoe anymore.
Yeah.
You know, in my purse. yep. and like a little jog bra, and I'm ready for the gym, and I don't have to change. And then after I work out, if I want to go meet, you know, somebody for a cocktail, I throw the tunic back on and the high heel, and I can keep the legging
on. I love that.
You know, it's not like my boxing workout where I'm like sweating, but if I'm doing, you know, a 30-minute weightlifting routine or, you know, 15 minutes on the rowing machine, I can rock that legging again.
Right. Win-win situation in terms of motivation. For everyone that complains, I don't have the time, it's too much hassle to go to the gym, you're setting the example saying, actually, no, you can go to work in your gym clothes and get there.
You can.
And you can go meet up for drinks and still look fabulous.
You can. Yes. So, exactly. Absolutely. And I think sometimes we get, as women, we get too caught up in like, oh, I have to have the perfect blow dry and I need to have everything perfect.
I thought you were going
to
say something else. I don't know why. For like a quick second. I don't know where that came from. I was like, well, this is getting juicy. All right, let's get into it. Where's my mind? Where's my mind? Oh God. Okay.
You can wear your leggings for that too.
I feel like, and we can get into this, but I feel like it's sexy. And Yummy really does. It really does embrace that. It says, you know, you are sexy the way you are, and this is just going to help you tighten up whatever's there. And
exactly.
I love that.
And I think doesn't hide it. Spend too much time at being like trying to be perfect, trying to have like our lipstick right and our hair right all the time. Like, you're so beautiful just being you. Like, throw your hair. You don't need the blow dry today. Okay, so you went to the gym and now you want to make for a cocktail.
Right?
It's true. Throw your hair up in the ponytail. Put on some clear lip gloss. You know what I mean? And go be you. That's who people, we are so tough on ourselves. I see a full picture when I look at you. I know when you look at you see the zit.
Yep.
You see the eyebrow that needs to be plucked. Yep. We don't see that. Right. And I think sometimes we're a little too hard on ourselves as women, and you just got to go with it.
Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, those sort of values are not... Has this been something you'd say that over the years you sort of, you know, now feel that you've come to? It's something that when you were, you know, that most women experience when you were 23, you're so
That's
insecure about it all.
The beauty of aging.
Yeah. It is very
That's
lucky.
That's why I'm proud. People are like, why do you always say how old you are? I'm like, because I'm smarter now.
I love that.
But I love that.
Always, now
love
I can
that.
Take away my years of wisdom.
No, your accomplishments and everything from it, though.
44 years old, and I want to teach the 23-year-olds that are listening to throw their hair in a ponytail and put on the clear lip gloss and go have a good time.
That's great for Ella, too, though, you know? Because it's to see her mother confident.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It really is, because, you know, you really do mimic a lot of what your parents do, especially the way your mother views herself.
Right.
You kind of end up doing that.
Yes.
Usually.
Yeah. It's true. So, but you did mention, we have to get into, I wish we could chat all night. I would love to. Maybe we'll just bring Carol here. We'll eat dinner. We'll get some takeout over here.
Reroute, Carol.
Get some wine.
But the Berkshires. Quick, okay. So we all really felt for you the other night when we watched this.
Gosh.
Because you opened your door and you welcomed these ladies into your beautiful home. And, I mean, this is like, I mean, you live the life. You have your New York home. You have this home. So it's for, you know, people that are watching. I don't know if you caught two nights ago's episode, but Ramona and Sonia also attend. And Sonia was pretty cool, but Ramona kind of felt like this was not her type of vacation.
Right. So it's below her standard.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You're so chill, and I really don't think, honestly, I can tell that it wouldn't affect you to the point where you're like, oh my God, I'm so insecure about my, like, you're not going to get like that. But watching it over again, because this was like 6 months ago or whatever, how did that make you feel overall, just to see how somebody, you know,
I felt
wasn't
for,
super excited
I felt
about
for
it.
Ramona. And I actually felt bad for Sonia too. I mean, Sonia, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
That's what
and,
yeah.
you know, she may want to stay in the car because, you know, the real estate she feels is bigger inside. I own my real estate. Through and through. Yeah. You know, Ramona says, you know, she paid $500,000 for her land in the Hamptons. And, you know, I paid $500,000 for mine. I got 26 acres, honey.
When I read that,
it's ridiculous. And I don't, you know, that's not, I mean, to Google someone's land, I mean, what are you really doing? And to me, she's acting very nouveau riche, and she's not even that. So, I mean, to me, I think a lot of times what Ramona and Sonia do, unfortunately, is they try to do things for the show, for the value of the show, for the shock value. And I think it really, unless you're going to be true to who you are, you know, it's going to always fire back in your face. Mm-hmm. And so I think Sonia tries to be funny and quirky for the show. And so she does it. She's got a really good heart. She doesn't mean it. Ramona's rude, 100% straight up rude. And she needs to check herself because, you know, I won't stand for that. you know, I won't stand for that. But we're at a place now where I can say to her, you're being, pardon me, you're being effing rude.
Right.
And it's, like, ridiculous. And she'll be like, I know, okay, I'm sorry. I'm like, Ramona, come on, it's time to grow up.
Yeah.
But, you know, she honestly didn't bother me at all. It's like a joke. Like, I think Ramona's taste is gaudy, you know, and I think, you know, and I really do.
No, yeah, no.
But I don't, but I would never say, I mean, I just said it on the show, but I would never say that. It's just not who I am, because to each his own.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't really think she felt what she did on the show necessarily. So I wasn't wounded. I wasn't hurt. I feel bad for Ramona. You know, I think privilege and money and things like that come in so many forms.
Mm.
You know, I know people who could buy and sell Ramona over 10,000 times, and you would never.
Especially out here, the money out here, too.
You would never know it. They are just lovely and humble and beautiful. And, you know, I think mostly she did for the show. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you want to buy real estate in a town because you think all the famous and rich people live there,
buy association.
Then, you know, go for it, honey.
Right.
Now, I'm going to bring it up. Do you think, though, talking about Ramona there, with everything that's gone on with Mario, did you feel any change in behavior when you're just talking about, was that her, has she been like that normally in previous seasons?
Like,
did
that.
You feel something was different this season?
Yeah, no.
This
is just
it had,
how she
I
is.
Mean, the only thing that I can say is that, you know, concerning Mario and Ramona, the only thing I had with that situation was hindsight. Watching the show and watching Mario say the best cheaters are the ones that don't get caught, you know? And I was like, oh, God, you know, we're talking, for me, we were talking about golf. I mean, I had no idea.
Of course, of course.
Innuendo. And then when he hugged me, you know, like when I was taking him to the Berkshires and I felt like I wanted to take the guys out for some steak and lobster and caviar. And he was like, oh, my God, thank you so much.
Right.
Like, you know, that was, you know, that was hindsight. And then Ramona brought a guy who was, Joey and I are friends from the show. And editing sometimes isn't always favorable. But, like, I had a couple's dinner. I had a private dinner party scheduled, and she brought someone completely unannounced.
That's true. Right.
You know, and so, and I could see that she almost, it was like a distraction. So in hindsight, she and Mario clearly weren't getting along at that moment. And so Joey was a distraction for her, which had she picked up the phone and called me and said, I want to bring him, I would have said, bring him. And then I would have invited Razzie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would have added so that there's another person at the table.
Just make a couple,
yeah,
even
girls,
if they're not
just,
on
a
date.
You know, I like to know. I'm really good when I'm in the know. I'm not good with surprises so much.
I just feel like with you, you're somebody that is so real, and you are one of those people that if you're dealing with something or something's on your mind, you'll just say it, and you'll say it kindly, and you just, it's so rare, and so it must be difficult because. In a way, I mean, I'm sure you've learned now that you really can't expect people to be the way you are because it's
always,
so disappointing.
Or what you expect them to be.
Right.
You'll always be disappointed.
It is, exactly. So, I mean, you really probably, I'm sure you had to learn that the hard way just because, I mean, you're so lucky now with Carol, but I mean, really, when you think about it, it's tough to find girls that are like the way you are in that sense, and you just want that friend that's tell you when you have a snot in your nose and tell you when they're doing this.
There are more people out there like Carol and I than there are like Sonia and Ramona.
Yeah.
So I think that we're the majority.
Yeah, hopefully.
Did you grow up hanging out with guys more?
Mostly.
You can tell. Because
I feel like every girl that I meet, like, that I just vibe with, that's kind of the case.
Yeah.
I grew up in a neighborhood of boys.
Yeah, we feel like we felt like we knew, like from the first episode, we felt like we've known you because you just give that vibe. So you are not only relatable, but you are fun to watch. And you, like I said, you are showing the viewers that you don't need to be mean and cruel to get rated.
Drama doesn't mean
interesting. I don't have to fake that I'm nouveau riche or I have bag handlers. I mean, that's bullshit. And I would never, ever fake who I am. I'm very proud of who I am. I'm very proud of my parents and my upbringing. And all of those things. And I would never, ever fake it, whether it's good for you or not. I don't really care. It's my life, right?
Now, on that, though, what was your take, though, watching the initial first couple of episodes when you... I mean, by all means, that's another side we hadn't ever seen of you, Heather, before.
Mad.
When you were dropping the F-bombs and going
I liked
off.
It. I actually liked it.
Was,
I wanted more of that.
I didn't learn how to swear in prison, by the way, Aviva Dresher. I learned how to swear in a kitchen.
I can't.
My mother owned a restaurant.
Right?
And
I
have to swear in the restaurant. Yes. I mastered this swearing working in hip-hop.
Yes, exactly. Is that your favorite type of music? Just curious.
No, I'm a rock and roll girl. So
are you?
Zeppelin, Stones,
that's my favorite.
Coldplay, like the, I am.
I should have been born in the
60s.
Like the Doors. Like I listen to the Doors by myself. I love. I don't care.
Queen. I mean, Kiss.
AC/DC. Whatever.
I mean, I like all music. I love the blues. I love jazz. I love
Elvis.
I'm not a huge Elvis fan, but you'll see coming up. I certainly appreciate the
idea. I'm excited for that one.
So I mean, I like all kinds of music, but I got really angry at the beginning of the season, and you can see if you even reflect on last season, as rude and obnoxious as Ramona was to me, she really never got under my feathers because it didn't really bother me.
Right.
When I was really angry, and you know, clearly there's a lot of the show that gets edited out, and there were things that were going on with Aviva where, you know, I was breaking the fourth wall, as they call it, where you know you're not supposed to talk about being on a TV show when you're on the TV show.
And that is very rare,
you know. And I get it, and you know, I think Bravo is breaking it a little bit more than normal because everyone, by the way, has caught on that we're actually on a TV show.
I can't believe it.
Wait, it's not a big secret.
Wait, you're on spoiler alert. Cover your ears,
you guys.
Earmuffs, everyone. Yeah. Earmuffs.
So Aviva, and you know, I was so incensed and outraged and gobsmacked that she would actually attack someone's livelihood and career, you know, and to me that it's like as low blow as attacking someone's children.
Yes.
And, you know, we made a pact at the beginning of the season as three new girls that we would not be mean girls. And Aviva had broke that pact in every way, shape or form that you possibly could break it. And when she went after Carol like that, I was incensed. And, you know, she said to me, by the time I said, don't tell me, she had said to me, I'm working. There are cameras. You see that camera pointed there and there and there at me, and I'm like, working, bitch, you're lucky you got a motherfucking job. You know, I was mad. I was
mad. And you're like, I'm working that same job.
I love this woman.
Two frames in the camera right here. Like, and I'm not ripping apart someone's career, and I'm being honest with you that you character assassinate people, and I take issue with that.
Yes.
And I was not, you know, butting my nose in Carol and Aviva's fight. I was standing up for what I believe in, because my heroes stand up for what they believe in. And, you know, if I see some guy grab a girl's purse on the street, I'm going to go run after him.
Yeah. Well, I also feel No, absolutely. I also feel it's because, you know, Carol, you know, you have your husband if he needs to step in, he'll step in. But you know Carol doesn't have that significant other. And I feel like you almost, in a way, like you felt like as her best friend and knowing that who else is really going to step in? Like you wanted to say, like, this is not right. This is not okay.
I appreciate that a lot. And I would do anything for my friends, but I really was standing up for what was right and wrong.
It was more you feeling
not who's right, but what's right.
If Carol was wrong, I would have told her I felt like she was wrong.
Well, yeah, I felt like you kind of did that in a sense on the picnic when you guys were sitting on the blankets.
The beach.
Yeah, you were trying to get them.
Time to move on, you know? And it was only because that was where I cared about Carol. Because at that juncture for me, I felt like it was healthier for Carol. And it was like taking a bullet for her.
Yeah.
So that was my way of taking the bullet out and sewing the wound for her.
Yes.
You know, to try to help her to move on from it. Because she was more gobsmacked than anybody that someone would slander and libel her on television.
Right.
Like that. And
at all, especially on television.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, like, it's not like, I don't know, Carol wrote What Remains was a book about, you know, her husband's death and the death of her two best friends. And it took her, you know, it took her 5 years to write it. Yeah, motherfuckers, it did.
Yeah.
Okay, because she went and sat down and had to reflect, and she would call her sister and talk about her emotions and put it on the page because that's what her art is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for anybody to try to take that away. And then after that, she wrote a novel. What an amazing accomplishment. So many people there. I mean, you can open a library door, and there are a ton of writers out there, and some who tell their story through a ghostwriter, and there's no shame in that, and you have the craft of an artist to help you put your words on the page, and then you have those of us who have the craft of putting the words on the page. So I was pissed.
Yeah.
And when you piss me off, I'm going to get puffy.
I love it.
And you certainly did. Now, you did mention, though, you made a little pact when you were saying that with the girls, you all tried to not be the bitchy girls.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of topics that you were going to try and refrain from bringing up this season. in particular, what about with kids? Mm-hmm. Now, the past, some of the recent episodes with you showing about what you're going through. Yeah. Any updates, though, too, with Jax and the hearing aid? Yeah. Can you let us know?
Yes, I mean, if someone came after, you know, one of the girls on the show said something like, oh, she's, you know, putting your kid on the show to stay relevant or something like that, I would really take major issue with that, yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
My son, you know, unfortunately has had, you know, a lot of struggles in his very young life. And for whatever reason, it's meant to, I really believe in life when, you know, you're thrown a punch. You know, it's not how you hit the mat, it's how you get back up. And for whatever reason, these challenges are meant to be for us as a family. And, you know, all of Jax's issues, as trying as they are, now that the liver transplant is complete, none of them are life-threatening. Although they're difficult,
yes,
none of them are life-threatening. And, you know, so a wise woman once said to me, throw your problems in a circle and you're going to run home with your own.
Yes,
there's there's always some guy that's got it worse than you. And that was Jax and Jonathan and Ella. That's our motivation as a family. When we were diagnosed with, whether it was the allergies, the bronchiectasis, you know, the ear disorder, the liver transplant, I felt very alone. You know what I mean? I felt very alone dealing as a parent dealing with a sick child. And if a woman or a man can turn on the television, or a child for that matter who's now grown from some of their issues, can turn on the television and see someone that they can relate to, well, God damn it, I'm going to do it every last time.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that's what Jax is, a soldier for his own cause. I mean, since he's been in preschool, he's lifted his belly and showed his scar and talked about his liver transplant. Mm-hmm. You know, and until Jax says to me, hey, Mom, I don't really want to do this anymore, you know, he's going to do it.
Yep.
You know, he does it well, and I don't think he'll ever say that.
I love
he's
that
very compassionate.
He's so strong. His choice, too. I mean, that you as a parent are letting him tell his story and live his life the way that he needs to, because, and I love that you said we, you know, when we were diagnosed, because it is, you know, a family thing, and it just shows that he's not alone.
He's not alone. And, you know, there's never a day that we're filming the show that my children have said, Mom, I don't want to film today, and I make them put a mic pack on. Never.
No, they come
will
first.
Ever happen. Right. They are interested in it. Jax is actually more interested in being behind the camera than in front. He'll oftentimes, after a while, you find him over by the camera guys with the headphones on. He's really interested in behind the scenes. I think creating the show versus being a star in it is what interests Jax. Now, would I have ever noticed that about my child if I hadn't taken the opportunity of the Housewives? Ella, on the other hand, has got her perfect Housewives clothes down. She's got the hand on the
What's
head.
What's the tagline?
Oh, my God.
She
so
would take
cute.
She likes
take
all
of
them.
She's so cute. I can't.
So,
I want to just quickly.
They're a piece of it. They're a piece of it. Yeah.
There's something very, and I want to make sure, because I do want to, I want to raise awareness about something that I actually was very surprised of when I did my research for this interview. And I want you to quickly explain to people. I know that when you signed up to be an organ donor, you were at the DMV, and this is a long time ago.
16 years old.
Right. And, you know, you checked it off, and you never thought years later that this would be. It would go full circle for you.
Right, and that I would be a recipient and not a donor.
Right.
When I signed the card, I always was about giving. It wasn't about getting.
Exactly.
You know, which is really apropos when you look at when you reflect back at it.
Exactly. Now, a lot of people feel that if they sign that they want to be an organ donor, that if something happens to them, God forbid they get in an accident or something, they won't get the best care possible.
Right. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I was so stunned because I'm ignorantly so, I apologize, but I actually thought that was the case.
Right.
So I was always afraid to do it because I was always told, if you do that and something happens to you, they'll let you die.
Your life isn't important.
And I'm a 25-year-old woman, so
okay,
I want to just make sure.
People really think that.
I want to raise awareness about this to everybody listening because this is very important. I want Heather to just quickly explain that that is absolutely not the case.
Yeah. First of all, a doctor's job, first and foremost, is to save your life. Okay, so, you know, it's like, you know, the doctor's bill of rights or something. There's like something it's called. It's escaping me now, but it's a vow that a doctor takes. And their vow is to save human lives. That's 100% what doctors vow to do when they become a doctor, okay? So they would never take one life to save another life. It goes against their grain. They have to save a life that's in front of them. Secondarily, just factually, they're two totally separate teams. The second team doesn't even know about the first guy.
I remember reading that.
The guy is pronounced dead.
No one knows that. So many people don't know that.
So they're saving, whether they're fibrillating you or there are, you know, they're trying to put air into your lungs or whatever they're trying to do, or giving you transfusions. They are saving your life at every corner, every cost, every opportunity that they have to save their life. It's not until you're pronounced dead that the other team even knows you exist for potential organ donation.
Because I am definitely switching off on that for myself.
So it doesn't even work that way. It's not like, hey, honey, I have like a half live one here. So I was calling. They're totally separate teams. So, you know, it's only when you are pronounced, and you have to die a certain way to be an organ donor.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have cancer.
Right.
You know, you have to, it has to be a brain trauma.
So there's
so there's a lot of misnomers about organ donation, and I'll tell you, the only one that you need to know about is the only thing you need when you go to heaven intact is your soul.
Yes.
So can save a life by donating your tissues and your organs, and you can change lives. You know, Manny Patinkin is a perfect example. He had two cornea transplants. He wouldn't see today. We wouldn't have these wonderful shows and these wonderful actors, you know, without that, you know. Alonzo Mourning. Like, there are so many people that wouldn't be with us today if it weren't for organ donors.
50 lives.
50 lives. Yeah. So our donor, who was, his parents worked in organ donation. So, I mean, there's not a bit more bittersweet story than that.
Of course.
And, you know, in Don's death, Donald Blair touched 50 lives.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, burn victims, people who don't see, you know, people who needed a heart to live.
It's incredible.
You know, Don, in his death, gave them life.
Goosebumps.
I mean, what better way to go? You know what I mean? Than to know that you've given the gift of life.
Yeah, to honor life,
yes,
literally by giving it in your passing.
Exactly. And it's got to put you a little higher on God's totem pole.
I know. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. You ring that doorbell, he'll answer immediately.
Just saying.
He'll answer himself. He doesn't have the help. He'll answer himself. And I just want to know, I know that April, it was the last of the month that the organ donations were going, but they can continue.
So April is Organ Donor Awareness Month.
Right.
It's just a month for awareness.
And,
you know, it's just like Earth Day, you know, awareness to be good to our Earth. And it so happens they both fall in April, and, you know, Earth Day recycling, it all works terms of, you know. So April is Organ Donor Awareness Month.
Yes.
And it's just a good time, if you haven't done it, to sign up to be a donor, or it's a good time if you are a donor to talk to your friends and say, so are you an organ donor? And have the conversation. So are you guys organ donors?
I'm going.
I am. I will be now.
Three countries.
Are you really?
Look at that.
I love it. Wonderful. So where can people go? I just want to, we will put the link in the YouTube when we upload to YouTube, but where can
DonateLife.net is the best way to go, because organ donation is state run. So it's not a fully, you know, it doesn't fall under a government umbrella. Each state runs it. So but the laws are very similar. Mm-hmm. But if you go to DonateLife.net, you can find your state. Click on your state. They'll bring you to the website for your state for organ donation, and you can sign up to be an organ donor.
Excellent. Awesome. That's so great.
Yay. Everyone's clicking away now.
I know.
They're not watching anymore. They're going to donate.
You really have so many people that love you. They don't just like to watch you. They love you. They feel like they know you. So, you know, you can go to sleep every night knowing that you didn't throw anybody under the bus, or, you know, trade out any... Just you're being authentic to yourself, and people love that. You must feel... That must be the ultimate feeling of confidence. To know.
You know, I have an opinion on just about everything, but I judge no one. You know what I mean? And that's really where I come from. So sometimes I'm only honest, you know, and sometimes I'm honest to a fault. I call it like I see it. I tell it like it is from my perspective, but I always have an ear to listen to somebody else's perspective.
Right.
You know, and everybody has an opinion, and boy, it's what makes the world go round. And so I'm just there to offer mine and hopefully, you know, be a little bit of, an inspiration if you're having a fight with your girlfriend and you watch us on the show and you see us overcome it. You know, I call it Sex in the City drama. You know, the way SJP and the girls did it, you know, they overcame, and they got stronger because of it. And I believe that as much as the viewers love on the franchise of Housewives, they love to see the table flipping, and they love to see the drama, and unfortunately love to see families, you know, ripped apart. You know, it's that human nature of you turn to watch the traffic accident, you turn to look and see it. But I also believe on the same note that people like to see people getting along and love to flourish and friendships to grow and people to get over issues. And I really believe the New York franchise has the perfect balance right now.
Teachable and relatable moments.
So true. I just want to point out, I mean, you have such an amazing life. I mean, I look at it and it's like, okay, so she's got the man, the kids, the job, the friends, you know, it's like the house, the Berkshire's house, you know, it's like you have it all and you didn't have to be mean or give up anything along the way with your integrity or your morality to get there. And that, for me, as somebody that, you know, doesn't have a family yet, that is still pursuing my career, to see that, okay, you can be the nice girl, you can stay true to who you are, and get all of those things.
Yep, the only thing you gotta add in there is a lot of hard work.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Paraphrase RuPaul, you better work.
Yes.
And you gotta work hard.
Don't stop
working. Exactly. And I said it on the show, I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut, you know what I mean? I still have hopes and dreams and aspirations, and looking at my property in the Berkshires is a perfect example of that. We didn't build this as the main house, we built the pool house.
I love that.
You know
that.
What I mean? We bit off what we wanted to chew.
And now you've got a garage.
And I have a lovely garage.
To sleep in. And you got some air conditioning.
Exactly.
Compliments of Ramona.
She said it. I was just honestly, someone said you have to read the blog. And as I was walking in here, she said that she's going to buy me an air conditioning unit for every bedroom. Let me tell you, not only did she send that piece of shit air conditioning to my house, she took it with her when she left.
Oh, my God.
Just saying.
And on
like
that note,
anyway,
oh,
I'm the girl
God.
That says to the driver, could you turn the air off?
I like
the fresh air.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, I like fresh
My
air.
My dad never let us put the AC on growing up. He's like, AC or the windows. You don't have them both. I'm like, all right, fine,
exactly.
Fine.
Windows.
There's honestly 1 week a year, and it happened to be the week when the girls were visiting, where, you know, it's really hot. But still, you could see, I can't fake the breeze on television. I mean, there's a beautiful breeze.
Yes,
I'm at the top of a mountain. And it was great. I mean, it's good to sweat it out a little bit sometimes.
Well, we do have one question. We were all pondering. Was the pond, no pun intended, was the pond/lake cold?
Yeah.
We were just wondering. It's random.
It's a lake. Okay. I call it a pond to freak out Ramona.
We're like, that's a really big pond.
I do that on purpose. It's a lake. It's called Prospect Lake, and it's right at the foot of our mountain that we live on, and it's a beautiful, clean, delicious, lovely lake, and it was warm.
I love it. So beautiful.
We filmed in August.
Oh, okay.
It looked
perfect.
Like the maybe it's just like the way they color correct or whatever for the show, but at one point it looked cold, like when you guys are jumping in and then Carol jumps in, I'm like, I mean, I know they're in bikinis and they're getting in the water, but I'm like,
you know
so
what
concerned.
It was the sun was going down, so
right,
the water
was
warm, but it was dusk.
We were wondering.
So it made the water look darker
just a
and maybe
colder,
cold.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Well, I'm from Massachusetts, so I even if it's August, I'm
the
still assuming it's probably. I know. So I'm assuming it might still be freezing. There's always that chance that it's snowing in August in Boston.
You're too used to Cape Cod.
I know.
Cape Cod barely gets warm in August. The water.
Seriously, weather's so crazy. Well, listen, thank you so much. We hope you can come back and visit us more often anytime.
I love hanging out in the crib.
You are so
with you
cool.
Guys.
We love you, and everybody loves you.
Congratulations to you guys all, and Maria,
thank
she's
you.
So amazing.
Yeah, she is so
and
cool.
I really love the show, and I congratulate all you guys.
Thank you so much.
Dream,
you're
baby.
So sweet. Can we be your friend, please?
Can you
be my best friend? Can I know you?
No, she's mine.
She's awesome. You're so sweet. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll upload this interview to YouTube, and thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you Tuesday for Real Housewives of New York recap show at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and guys, don't forget to check out the organ donation line that we'll be putting up there.
Yes.
And yeah, you've heard it all. It is go sign up.
Where can we find you guys? Courtney, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at COUHEN.
And Heather?
I am at Heather T.
Easy.
Yeah, is my handle on both Instagram and Twitter. And go to yummylife.com to find out about Yummy by Heather Thompson.
Awesome.
And guys, you can find me on Twitter at Host McGrath and on YouTube at Host Stephanie McGrath.
And I'm at Miss Ashley Daniels on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
See you guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
That's all right.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.